Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
At 7 or 7.30 at Chad's Monday night, trivia starts. And there's like, down the road, there's a possibility of winning cash if your team does very well.
Cash only.
But more importantly, there's the possibility of you giving us cash by buying something to eat and something to drink at Chad's. Monday night will be the beginning of trivia. I'd like to build a crowd for that.
Is it difficult trivia?
I don't know. It's handled by an outside group, District Trivia. And I
outsourcing.
You'll get
sad.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Plausibly live from an as-yet undisclosed third-floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza and Gary Braun and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel will run the board. Michael Wilbon will join us later. We're going to spend a lot of time on the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't we do that? The notion that the Patriots could come back and win that game was lost on me because I was asleep. I was asleep when any reasonable thinking person would see at the beginning of the fourth quarter, that the Patriots were down by 25 points, right? 28-3?
It was 28-9. They scored late in the third quarter.
That's right. Right.
But then Gostkowski missed the extra point, and you thought, well, everything's gone wrong.
He kicked it off the right upright. And you say, okay, so it's 28-9.
Which, by the way, was a prop bet, so some people were a little
missed. Yeah, field goal, extra point
whether
missed.
It would actually hit the upright.
It did. Oh.
That was a prop bet.
Andy Poley tweeted right around that point, and I thought this was apt. It was 28-9 at that point. He'd missed the extra point. That it had a feel of the Skins-Raiders Super Bowl from 83-84. Remember that when the high-powered Skins came in and they shut them down with the rocket screen? And
yeah,
the,
that was Theismann's
and the Marcus
mistake.
Allen run. Yeah.
So if we're going to talk about mistakes. Like
we actually have audio of Brady on the sideline when they went down 28-3. Would you guys like to hear it?
Sure.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like a rap poem.
Get some new material.
So it's not possible. It's not possible for the Patriots to win that game. Not in 100 years. It's simply not possible. I thought the critical play of the game was Blunt fumbles. They maybe are going to score at least three at that point. Right. And then Atlanta goes right down the field. Julio Jones, by the way, Tom Brady has a lot of guys who make a lot of catches. You would trade them all for Julio
Imagine
Jones.
Imagine if Tom Brady had Julio Jones as a wide receiver.
You would trade them all for Julio Jones. And Gronkowski's not playing now. Right. So Tom Brady doesn't have that. Then it goes to 14-0. And then Brady's getting sacked all over the place. And then there's the pick six. And in the moment of the pick six, what you see is the passing of the baton in eras in the NFL because Brady attempts to tackle the DB and dives at his feet and misses and lays on the ground. And now it's 21-0. Come on, people. It's 21-0 against the number one offense in all of football.
And you're convinced, by the way, that the lasting image of the game will be the shot from behind of Brady on his knees as the guy runs it in. Right. That'll be, okay, sayonara to the Patriots' legacy.
It's 21-0. It's 21-3. It's 28-3. You're going to believe they're going to score 31 in a row. They're going to get 2 2-point conversions. They're going to hold Ryan to nothing. Matt Ryan, who had a great, efficient game, was averaging like 14 yards of completion, something outrageous like this, that in the fourth quarter he's going to go punt, fumble, punt, punt? Really? And his offensive coordinator, the sainted Kyle Shanahan, is going to call these two long dropbacks that result in terrible things for Atlanta, particularly after Julio Jones makes yet another great catch, and they can essentially run out the clock and kick a field goal, and then they're dropping back?
To your point.
You can't think this is going to happen.
To your point, it's 28-3. In the subsequent possessions, Atlanta gets sacked and three and out, sack fumble, sacked out of field goal range, and then the end of regulation. The Pats, in turn, go touchdown, field goal, touchdown, two-point conversion, touchdown, two-point
conversion.
Although the way they began the game was punt, fumble, punt,
interception.
Punt, interception.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather end the game the way the Patriots ended the game? And then a couple of questions stand out, and one of them is Kyle Shanahan, of course. One of them is Matt Ryan. This is a choke job by Atlanta, without any question. So we're spared to having to watch Arthur Blank dance.
Which Capitals level?
Good for America.
It's hard to compare
when Arthur Blank and his wife are down on the field for celebration, and then they're just showing him over and over again as it's clear
it's
that
great.
The tide is turning.
Great.
You just see his face. He wants to go back up to the box, but he can't.
How about
pathos.
Goodell? Goodell must have been in the last quarter. Goodell had to turn to somebody, anybody he trusted, one person, and go, Are you kidding me?
Do something.
I'm going to have to do this again. I'm going to have to give them the trophy
again. Buzz Sheffers, throw a flag, do something.
I mean, one of the things
they booed him off the stage. Literally, I don't know if you saw that, but you would have loved it.
It was
loud and emphatic, and he is trying to get off the stage just as
wasn't that great.
Just as Kraft is trolling him.
You think he'll be there for opening day? He won't be there for opening day. He'll be in Atlanta. Here's a quote from Robert Kraft. 2 years ago, we won our fourth Super Bowl down in Arizona. I told our fans that was the sweetest one of all. But a lot has transpired over the last 2 years, and I don't think that needs any explanation. This is unequivocally the sweetest. Roger Goodell brought this on himself. He used bad science, phony science, fake news. He did all that. He brought this on himself. And the other question, I will get out of the way and let everybody talk. You sure you want to make Matt Ryan the MVP? Because I know I sat on TV for about a month, and I said, not Matt Ryan, Tom Brady. Tom Brady finished with 466 yards and still Gisele Bündchen, right? He's still got Gisele Bündchen.
Yes.
And he's now, it's unequivocal. I don't know how you can, and I love Joe Montana. I am old enough to remember Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana well. And you got to get out of the way for this guy now.
If they come out and win this game 24-10, there's probably still haters.
Yeah.
But
not this way.
And certainly down 28-3, people are tweeting, oh, the GOAT is the GOAT, and all that nonsense about the so-called MVP and the so-called
Wilbon called me at 14-0 and was gloating about how bad Brady is. How terrible Brady is. How Brady is losing this game.
Well,
this is Wilbon's position. He'll be on later in the show. God only knows what he'll say, Ned.
Yeah, I just don't see how anyone could defend
Belichick
that position.
And Brady.
That Belichick and Brady
it's
aren't
not possible.
The greatest.
I mean, I if you do, it's solely to do the, buzzy counter-conventional wisdom. Like, Brady's actually not the greatest. The greatest quarterback ever is, whoever.
Who?
Some rando.
Wade Wilson.
Because it's not right. Wade Wilson. It's Jake Delhomme.
Well, honestly.
Because it's literally, it's not possible.
Whoever
you would
name, though, whether it's, Montana or Marino or Elway, whatever you want to say. I mean, I guess the question is, who could have done that?
Look at, I mean, just go through how they came back. Like, they get it to 28-12, and you're thinking, like everybody does,
you have to make two-point conversions.
And two-point conversions.
You're not going to get
that. You see the people who got them? They were 5'6".
At 28-12, after a 12-play, 5-minute drive.
And the whole talk of that drive, by the way, was, they're wasting too much time.
Right.
They're taking too much time. They're wasting time.
And then it culminates in a field goal.
That's what Aikman kept saying. Why are they taking so much time?
And now they would need two touchdowns and 2-point conversions to tie it. I mean, even at 28-12, it's looking like a long shot. I mean,
long shot. It's over.
A no shot.
Realistically, if Atlanta had taken knees, I mean, if they don't then get the sack fumble, they probably win. But I put this thing squarely at the feet of Kyle Shanahan. I mean, the play calling after the completion of Julio Jones was
just a mess. How happy is Robert Griffin? Boy, he's loving this. Redskins fans feel good because Kirk Cousins won't go play for that guy.
No one's ever accused Kyle Shanahan of being arrogant. So. No,
they were gouging them on the run, too. I just looked this up. Devontae Freeman was averaged 6.8 yards a carry, and Tevin Coleman averaged 4.1. Just give him the ball. Let him fall forward. But it shows you in those moments, Belichick doesn't screw up. Like Belichick, they have the timeouts in the right places.
You could not have thought they could win.
No. There's a 0% chance. As I said to Nigel before we went on the air, if Homeland had been on, I would have been watching Homeland at 9:00.
They covered and the over won.
Yeah.
The over could not. Look at the first. The over cannot win.
Well, scoreless first quarter.
Just can't win.
I hate to say best thing ever because I don't remember Super Bowl III. But that game was not a great game.
It wasn't. It wasn't a great game.
But that last quarter, I rarely watch any sporting event where my heart is racing, unless it was the Catholic University field hockey team because my wife coached them. That game, from the Julio Jones catch onward, The Edelman catch.
That's the Tyree catch.
Beyond belief.
That's the David Tyree
catch. It's an inch off the ground, and he re-grabs it somehow.
It's a phenomenal catch. The Julio Jones catch is the Tyree catch. I mean, that also ends the game. If they just turn around, put it in the dude's belly three times, and then assuming they don't bust one for a first down or a touchdown, which is likely the way they're gashing the Patriots, if all they do is do that three times and kick a field goal, the game is ostensibly
over.
But the
Edelman catch looks like an interception. It's tipped.
Well, there's three Falcons there.
He catches it first off the guy's leg on the ground. Then he's losing it.
And he catches it
again.
And let me point out,
they challenged
the Falcons then very unwisely.
They lost a timeout.
Yeah, they just throw away the last time out, which would have come in useful for them because they did get the ball in a tie game with 50 seconds
If someone watched the replay upstairs,
there's no way
he caught it. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkably improbable, but he caught it.
It wasn't even like the replay, the call is stands. It was the call was confirmed. It's like the replay proved that he caught it.
Liz Clark has that catch. Was Brady's 51st, she writes in the paper today, it was Brady's 51st throw of the game. Heaved deep over the middle after being tipped by cornerback Robert Alford. And isn't he the guy who got the
pick six? He is.
The ball popped in the air and looked certain to fall incomplete, but the 5'10" Edelman, program height, lunged toward it, arms outstretched, got his fingers under it, and three defenders converged on him like a freeway pileup. Edelman disappeared under the pile of Falcons, somehow able to secure the ball clutched tight to his body. Brady said, one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. I don't know how in the hell he caught it. It's their David Tyree catch.
Yeah. Edelman is so chesty, too.
He is.
I mean, he is just so chesty.
Wouldn't you be? If you were that size?
I'm chesty and I don't catch anything like
that. It's just not possible. So I missed it, of course. You stayed up for all of it.
So
Nigel,
were
you awake?
Was it on last night?
Yeah.
Tony.
Michael, you watched it.
I'll admit.
Of course. Everyone watched it. What's your reaction when you wake up, turn on SportsCenter, and see?
Honestly.
Did you think you were still asleep?
Not even sports. It doesn't get to SportsCenter. I go out at 10 after 5. I go out with the dog.
Late one morning.
The paper is waiting for me, which is great. It's been delivered to the house. I come back with the dog. It's about 5:40. I open up the paper without any – slowly. The TV is not on. I'm going to open up the paper. I'm going to prepare for the show.
Like, are you even remotely thinking, I wonder if they made a game
zero
of it?
Zero chance.
Right.
No,
right.
Zero.
How could
zero
you?
45 to
you went to sleep 21-3?
Is
that right?
28-9.
Okay, got it.
I'm into the fourth quarter.
You're into the fourth quarter,
and I know.
28-9.
We left the house at 21-3. That's what you're thinking.
Okay.
No, I go to the fourth quarter.
Okay.
I look at the front page, and it says, Brady Patriots win fifth championship. I go, what? What? I go to sports, and I see these pictures, and I can't. It's not possible for me to believe. I've gone to sleep on a lot of things that have changed. Not a game this decisively over. Not a game in which the one team is methodically destroying on both ends of the ball the other team. It's not. I cannot believe it. I just cannot believe it.
You experience these sports like an elementary school kid who just wakes up with wide-eyed wonder.
Yeah, my sons. My kid woke up in the middle of the night and he was like, "Did the Falcons win?"
It's amazing to me that this happened. It's because again, you are not. This is not a comeback in a regular circumstance. This is against the number one offensive team in the league with the MVP
in the Super Bowl.
They're up by so many points, they cannot lose the game. And it is a choke by them. It's also when Tom Brady, 466 yards.
He threw the ball 62 times.
So the greatest moment for me, and because I had seen them, they could not gain 2 yards on the ground. The greatest moment for me, I can only imagine. I get to see it later. It's seeing Goodell have to hand over the trophy.
It was outstanding.
Did you see the
Goodell
handshake?
Goodell should quit. Should just quit.
Did you see the Goodell Brady handshake?
Oh, yeah.
There was a pull away,
and Brady wouldn't let him go.
Yes.
Right?
He did the Trump. Trump does that, the extendo handshake.
Hold him in.
Pull him in.
Goodell looked like somebody who had been at a bar the night before, had gotten a fight, thrown up, left his credit card there, and had to return in the light of day to be
it's
like,
it's so bad, and it is karma.
Of course it is.
The booing was
The booze was sensational.
When you say booze rained down on him,
And that's in Houston. That's not in Foxborough.
And to Gary's
if he was still talking, they would still be booing.
To Gary's point, it's so good because he's saying, and what a credit to the Patriots of this legacy that they
booed. Shut up. Get off the stage.
You can't hear him because of the booze.
Chanting, go to hell.
He won't quit, and the owners won't fire him. He is the public face of every disaster they have, every single one, and they continue to pay him over $30 million a year. And that means they think one of two things or both. One, that it just doesn't matter how you look publicly, which I don't think they think. And two is they actually think nobody else could do a better job. Yeah.
But remember this, he takes the hits for them that they don't want to take.
And the hits just keep on coming.
That's of value.
But if I was an owner, particularly in the AFC, and I want a chance to get to a Super Bowl, I might want to get him out of there because as long as he's there, who knows what the Patriots are going to do.
And Brady, unlike John Elway, Brady is not walking out on this one. Unlike Peyton Manning, he's not walking out. He might have walked out diving head first on the pick six, but not by the end of the game.
Tony, you think, though, don't you agree that like a Belichick and Brady, they would just bury the hatchet? Those aren't the kind of guys who are going to carry a
good
grudge.
Good point.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll bring Michael Wilbon on, and Michael Wilbon will talk about his view of the game, which is not my view of the game. It's just not. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Harry's Razor ad. We like Harry's. Everybody here has the Harry's Razor. Everybody here is happy with the Harry's Razor. Sometimes you have a read and we're not even familiar with the product. But in this case, everybody knows it. And everybody likes it. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who are getting fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you will pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. They have the weighted ergonomic handle. Mine is in orange. Others are in blue. Some are in neutral shades, I suspect. 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which smells very good, by the way, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover the shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of this particular podcast, quality premium podcast, go to harrys.com right now. That's HARRYS.com right now. Enter the code Tony K at checkout to get the post-shave bomb, BALM, not BOMB. That's also free, and that is harrys.com, and the code is Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is submitted by David Cecil of Kansas City, Missouri. The song is called Wonder. His band is called Far Beyond Frail. He writes, "We had a good 10-year run as a band, but now I have two small children, masculine children. The last time I picked up my guitar was to shake the Cheerios out of it. I own an advertising agency in Kansas City, but I'm in no way qualified to submit a new name for Chad's because we called our business Johnny Lightning Strikes Again. It's worked for us, but it shouldn't have. Thanks for making the time I spend putting my kids' toys away every night more enjoyable. The show is smart and funny, almost like you planned it that way." All the music is good. Yeah, all the music we play is good. Michael Wilbon joins us now. And there's really no point in talking about anything other than the phone call at, I believe, either 14-0 or 21-0 when you savagely ripped into Tom Brady, justifiably at the time. Why don't you take us back to that point, what you thought was going on? Because when people say, oh, this is an improbable victory. No, it's not. It's an impossible victory. It's not improbable at all. What were you seeing then, and what did you see by the end?
Well, at 21-0, I just remember tweeting, who is Giselle going to blame now?
Yeah, I can't blame Welker.
Because he had just thrown the pick six when you and I talked. And I just said he's having a terrible game. They're crushing him.
Yes,
they were frustrating him. They were confusing him. They were bigger, faster, stronger.
Yes,
quicker to the ball plays, all of it, and it was just unbelievable to watch a team just sort of beat the hell out of the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
They did. They were getting out-coached.
They were getting out-hustled. They were getting beat to spots.
And it felt like they could play for a week. New England wasn't coming back.
Yes. Right. You know what it was looking like? It was looking almost, without the violence, because you can't be violent today, it was looking like the Bears-Patriots game from 30 years ago.
Well, I wouldn't say that Brady was in the Grogan class.
He was. They sacked him three times in the first two series. They were using him as a rag doll back there. And you look at this, and it's just like, this is spectacular in its dominance. And, you know, I didn't believe in Atlanta Falcons all year. I sort of looked bad about it because I just didn't believe in them. I didn't believe in them going into last night. I just thought, I remember saying before the game started, they're going to do something stupid. They're going to be stupid. I don't trust the Atlanta Falcons, anything about them. And then it's 21-0 and 28-3, and it's just like, oh my God.
It's over. You cannot, you know, you want to cling to the notion that mathematically they had a chance. Fine. This is
a Super Bowl team.
This is in a Super Bowl in which Matt Ryan is coldly efficient. He is just killing it. They're killing Tom Brady.
Going at that point for 11 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And largest deficit come back from was 10 points.
It's just, I mean.
And New England can't get a first down.
Right.
They can't get a first down.
And Brady's missing people. He's missing people.
He's throwing a pick six.
Off.
This is why you lift all those weights. This is the appeal. This is the seduction of the game. Look, I covered, and maybe this colors the way I look at sports. I sat in a press box in person in 1984, in the fall of 1984. I watched it. I was 25 years old. I watched the University of Maryland down 31-0 in the Orange Bowl
with Frank Reich.
Okay, Frank Reich didn't start the game. He was on the bench.
That's right. He came in.
And I watched him win that game and wrote about that game, that team, all of it every day. I knew those people. And Frank Reich then went and had another one. He had the same
with
game
the Bills.
In the pros.
Like Bills Houston. Yeah.
Playoffs, no less.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it probably colors the way I watched these things my whole life, the rest of my life. That's been more than half my life ago. And so I don't think the Patriots are going to come back. But if anybody can come back, it's these two all week. 2 weeks. For the two stinking weeks that this game takes to be played now. What few times we discussed it in the first week on PTI, or if anybody asked me, I said, I don't bet against Brady and Belichick. I don't. For any reason, I don't. You can. I don't. So, to me, I'm not giving up on those guys. I'm not giving up watching that to take the Atlanta Falcons. There's some teams, Steelers, that's an AFC team. Niners, somebody with Giants. Okay, I might do that. But the Atlanta Falcons? I got to see it. Tony, how many times did I say, I have to see Brady and Belichick counted out in the middle of the ring?
But you had them. You made the phone call. We had this conversation. You said Brady was getting killed.
Yes. That doesn't mean the game's over because somebody's getting killed.
You didn't think that game was over?
No. You keep watching the game. Keep playing, son. Keep playing. I've learned that from listening to coaches. Keep playing. So it's the Atlanta Falcons. No, I mean, how naive am I going to be? I'm not naive about these things. You watch these games, and again, did I expect the Patriots to come back? No.
Brady finished with 466 yards. In the drive for the touchdown, he threw to five different receivers, maybe one of whom was over 5'8". maybe one of whom was over 5 foot eight. He was, we wasn't the same guy. So, I mean, let's ask this. Do you feel, because I can be persuaded, that this is a choke job beyond words for Atlanta?
It was a choke job. You know, it was both the greatest comeback you've ever seen. Not by points ever, because, again, Frank Reich, I think they were down, was it 38-3 they were down to Houston? Something like that.
It's 25 points in the fourth
35-3.
Quarter.
35-3. And so it might not have been by points. It's the greatest comeback you've ever seen, and it's the biggest choke job you've ever seen. And here's the place, Tony, where
punt,
the Atlanta
fumble,
Falcons,
punt in Atlanta's last four.
Here's the deal. This is not,
and sacks.
That's not the game. The game is in one spot with 4 minutes left after the great Julio Jones catch down the sideline.
That's, by the way, you said don't count these guys out, Wilmon. You know, it's never over with the Patriots. And I was watching with a bunch of people who were saying the game was over, and I said, well, you know, it's the Patriots. It's not over.
Julio Jones is great.
But you know when it was over? And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but you're right. That's when the game was over.
How did he catch that?
Because you hand the ball off three times, and the game is over.
This is the arrogance. This is, oh my God, it's so arrogant. And I know Kyle Shanahan has got a great future. He's going to San Francisco.
No, he takes blame in this.
Here's the game. The game. Look, all these wonderful things, the catch, was it Welker?
Edelman.
Edelman. The Edelman catch. All these things are wonderful. But here's the ball game. The ball game takes place in a minute. After the Julio Jones catch, you're at the 22-yard line. Okay, your kicker is 31 of 32 career in the fourth quarter and overtime, 40 and inside. You're at 39 right now, 39-yard field goal. Your kicker doesn't miss.
Why are you passing?
Just kneel down.
You throw. you drop back and you get a sack. You get a sack, a 12-yard sack. The next play, you hold on another drop back. And then after you come back from this, the third play, you throw incomplete. So not only have you wasted an opportunity to gain 120 seconds, just do the math. You got a 40-second clock. So you've wasted almost a minute and a half where you could have run Tom Brady down to the nub.
Yes.
Then you don't have the 3 points that would have resulted in 90% chance from your kicker who was 31 of 32 career in these situations.
Yes.
That is the ball game.
He called two terrible seven-step drops, which resulted in a disaster, and Matt Ryan, who's the agent of that, doesn't throw the ball away as any quarterback would have, and it is a gag of maximum proportions by Shanahan and Ryan. It's a gag.
But Tony, there's no great comeback without a choke. It doesn't happen.
Well, sometimes onside kick.
Some are less than others.
Yeah.
But
it takes two. When it takes that kind of comeback.
You think the Houston Oilers didn't choke when they were up on Buffalo, whatever that 35-3, whatever that
it's
was.
It's the best offense in the league. The best offense in the league.
It doesn't matter. They can't put it away. And the defense showed up. The defense that gave up 406 points in the regular season showed up. Bill Belichick did figure out a way to get them blocked after halftime. He figured out a way to get them blocked.
He did.
And he figured out a way to move the ball, even run the ball late in the game, which they were unable to do. I couldn't pick up the phone last night and call. My father is from a little place called Washington, Georgia. It's about 100 miles outside of Atlanta. And I have literally dozens of my family members. I ain't talking about distant people. I'm talking about aunts and uncles and first cousins that live in Atlanta. And they are sports fans. And they were so excited, obviously, this whole season. But yesterday, it was palpable. And afterward, I just remember thinking, if you're a fan of this team, if you're a fan of this franchise,
oh, wow.
I don't know that it can
dagger.
Get, because of their history, because of Atlanta's history. How about the graphic that Fox put up at one point that had New England has like 36 championships.
And Atlanta had one.
Atlanta has
one. That one Atlanta Braves team that finally broke through. And it's just like, this is why you don't take the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots, even at halftime. This is why you sit there and you watch the game, and you don't need to declare anything over. Watch the game.
This was over. This was over.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, history's gone.
This was over.
History's going to treat that a little differently than you did.
You are old. I am old. This one for me, it's Belichick and Brady, and I can't even, you know, it's indisputable at this point, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's them.
Yeah, because
they take over from Montana. He does.
Brady is two miracle catches on the wrong side from being 7-0 in Super Bowl.
Well, Butler.
But he's got one.
Yeah.
That he should have lost.
Yes. So to Seattle.
He can be 7-0. He can be 6-1. He can be, you know.
Wilbon, he is a Daryl Bevel and Kyle Shanahan brain fart away from being 3-4.
That's right.
Yes. That's right. That's true. Yes, he is. And so, yes, it's Brady and Belichick, but isn't that when we entered the movie theater?
Amazing.
You know, come on. Why bet? You know what? As stupid as Kyle Shanahan's play calling was, it's that stupid to think that Brady and Belichick can't win a game. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the script is. It's as dumb to count out Belichick and Brady as it is the ridiculous play calls. And it's not even second guessing. I remember sitting there in real time screaming. I watched the fourth quarter over again last night. I couldn't go to sleep. Kelleher and I were making fun of Kornheiser at 2:00 in the morning.
Long gone.
And so I watched it over. I watched the fourth quarter over, and I literally went play by play on what happened after the Julio Jones catch. And it's just in real time. I'm screaming, "Don't you run the ball?" It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. And the only thing dumber is to think that Brady and Belichick can't be the team with no pedigree and arrogance. I mean, they believe their own hype. They went through that game thinking, "That's right, we're gonna crush them. We got them. We're gonna take them out." That was their attitude when they made those play calls late in the game. So you know what? To hell with them.
Good.
Let me say, this one will – this is the sort of thing – and, I mean, you talk to Gary about this. I mean, he talks about remembering the losses more than the wins.
Yeah.
This will dog Shanahan.
Yeah.
I don't care how many he wins.
It's haunting.
He will never get over that.
That's
if Quinn doesn't kill him first.
Look, I think that we've seen one franchise come back from – well, I guess they can't even compare. Different sport, different circumstances. But I don't know how you recover. When you're the Atlanta Falcons and you've basically been kind of a joke deal forever, and then you have one of these, how do you come back from this? Like, even the Carolina Panthers couldn't come back, and they're talking about arrogance. They went from Super Bowl to not even being close to 500. And you just look at them and you say, this can be what happens when you have that kind of loss. And they got blown out. They got crushed. They looked like clowns last year. The Atlanta Falcons, what do you expect out of them? How do they respond to this? How do you deal with it?
I expect 9-7 and out of the playoffs next year. All right, I'll see you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do news when we return. It's pretty much a Super Bowl day.
Yeah,
this is the end of the football season, which means sports
is over.
It's
the end of the show season, isn't it? Do we still do the show?
No, we're off.
Sports is over basically until September. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Got my gear, double humbuckers and strings.
Song is playing for no money. And the letter is, all songs are good, aren't they? My name is Tim Scott. I've been a longtime right-of-center listener and belly laugher at Iran since your early internet call-in show days. I never tired of laughing every time you cut off a caller for prefacing a question with a dreaded, how you doing, Tony? Those early stream shows were especially entertaining during the commercial breaks when listeners were allowed to be flies on the wall for your colorful rants with staff. I've always appreciated your smart conversations with regard to political commentary. I've been in an Alaskan rock band for many years. All the other members of the band are as far left of center as I am right. We agreed that the best way to have civil political discourse is to have friends on the other side of the aisle. My writing partner, Steve Lillard, moved back home to Virginia 6 years ago. To keep things going, I fly to the Eastern Shore twice a year to record. This is off our latest album, Youth. The song is for those old guy entrepreneurs gambling with their kids' inheritance. It's not my money. I don't need the money. It's Michael's money. 9 of our albums can be found at www.lovepuppets.com. L-U-V. Love Puppets spelled L-U-V Puppets. Tim Scott, Anchorage, Alaska. Michael, when people want to send us music to use, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And we are grateful for all the music. And we think it is wonderful music. Nigel has news for us.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. If many people were probably checking out of the halftime show because the game was not what they wanted, but if you stuck around and watched Lady Gaga dive off the roof of the stadium, you saw what people seemed to say was a pretty good show. I was one of the people that checked out. I was disgusted with the game and did not watch more than a couple minutes of it.
I watched Lady Gaga.
What'd you think?
I'm too old to appreciate Lady Gaga, though when she sings with Tony Bennett, I recognize that she's very talented. I understand that. You know, I've looked into her background, and I know she's very talented. I thought it was very good. I thought it was the athletic high-energy show that she said it was going to be, starting with jumping off while tethered, which is scary, but I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I understand right. why she did it. I thought what was more exciting is when she was done and dropped the mic and just jumped, caught a football,
right.
and jumped off the stage. I have no idea where she landed or how that worked. I thought it was good. What did you think?
I agree with you. I liked the show, and it fostered some great tweets, like Lady Gaga's gone for more yards through the air than the Patriots.
Yeah, Brady just threw another pick.
Right, Brady just threw another pick. Gaga doesn't offend me. I'm not a huge fan. I actually liked that she started with that sort of what's the word I want to use? But she played a little national anthem, This Land Is Your Land. It was. Had a nice feel to it. And the drone action was cool, too.
Interestingly, did you know that the drone thing was pre-taped? The drone thing was cast behind her. They did it weeks in advance.
No, I understood that.
I didn't know that. I thought they were doing the drone thing live.
I didn't even know they were
the
drones.
The star things.
I know.
Were
I thought they were like fireworks or something.
I thought it was amazing, and I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I thought it was the best one I'd seen since Prince. I thought Prince was amazing, and I thought she was great. Think about the scope of it. You start on the top of that stadium.
How could you not be
you
out of breath? Are you
off.
Singing live?
Yes. Some of it is live. Singing live,
yeah. Right, Michael? Some of it is live.
Much of it is live. Some of it's going to be recorded.
Yeah,
I think the performance is unbelievable, but. She was able to do something that many of the commercials could not do, which is she sings for inclusion, and she was able to share her beliefs and do it in a respectful way, and everyone listened, and it was great.
Yeah, I thought the critique, which I've seen a lot of on the left, is she didn't stand up more prominently. I would ask people, number one, come on.
There's a scalpel,
number
not
two,
a hatchet.
Number two, do you have any familiarity with the background of This Land Is Your Land? I mean, that is a protest song.
Yeah.
I mean, that is about that this is the people's country. That, you know, this land was made for you and me. She emphasized, like, listen to the words. You don't have to be hit in the face with her ripping up a picture of Donald Trump to get to Michael's point, which is clearly she views the country in a different way than he does. And she made that message. I thought, in a fine way, the idea that she would have to, like, come out and make a long speech.
Why? What do you want about with speeches?
Agree.
Stevie Wonder makes speeches. You can go, come on, sing. Bruce Springsteen makes speeches. Please sing. I paid $1,000.
Sing.
Stop. Sing. What else?
The TV ads.
Can we talk about the commercials?
Yes. What was your favorite?
I didn't like most of them.
Yeah, it's
because
sort of a weak crop.
I set a very high
very
bar.
Lame crop.
You know, I set a very high bar for these things. I figure you have almost a year to figure them out.
And yes,
you're so a Doritos
I didn't
guy.
Like, yeah, I like the Doritos ads usually. I usually like the Clydesdale ads, and they make me cry. The 84 Lumber ad was very ambitious. I didn't really know. I mean, it didn't move me particularly. The immigration ad. The theme was immigration, obviously. The immigration ad for Budweiser, I found not even believable on any level.
She liked the Stars High School Pictures ad.
Very
Honda.
Much. Yes, but I didn't know why one. It was for Honda.
I love that you're Honda. Watching this like tearjerker ad, and then they're like, buy an Infiniti. I'm like, that doesn't have right. anything to do yeah. with anything.
How about
I thought that was clever. I thought
how about the Melissa McCarthy ad?
Like that.
Yeah,
I like Melissa McCarthy because earlier in the...
Second best thing she did all weekend.
Earlier in the game, Liz and Kate and Sarah had said, have you seen her do Sean Spicer? And I said, no. So they played that for me.
Brilliant.
Which I thought was awfully good.
Your
good.
Apology to me is not accepted. Right. So good. I like the walk-in JT ad.
Yes, for Bon
Jovi. I love
what
walk-in.
Was it?
Yeah, I like
who
Timberlake.
Cares? It's walk-in.
It's walk-in reciting the lyrics to Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah, it's fine.
I will say
yeah.
this. In terms of like product placement and remembering what the product is, that one was as sticky as any
yes.
of them. That it was that Bai juice, which I had never heard of or seen before. Yeah. But
what,
we'll
did I,
remember.
What did I like? I there was one other one that I... Oh, I did like the ad for the tank game.
Yes.
Oh, the tanks. I didn't good. Really know what it was.
The Real Housewives?
Yeah, but yes. I thought moms. That was really good. And I will say this, that the 30-second ad for the Scarlett Johansson movie coming up is the most frightening thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, she's like a robot or something.
Why is every movie that they advertise for a futuristic dystopia where there are computers?
Well, you know,
should we worry about that? Just think everything's going to be fine.
It's very, very
What's
weird.
That movie called?
Plastic Head or something like that. I don't know. I think Plastic.
It's called Listen Up, I think.
Yeah.
No,
it's based
no,
on a TV
else.
Show.
Yeah. So,
distinctive
anyway.
lack of chimps in suits,
yeah.
which is always
a career builder. What happened to career
right,
builder?
Monster. I think it was Monster.
Whatever it was. Yeah. What happened to
you
chimps?
You got to really think in this day and age about, and I'm looking at Tony, but actually maybe I should be looking at Chris and Michael and Nigel more, but the notion of spending millions of dollars for a 30-second ad, I mean, in my house, it went to commercials. And people pretty much then were going to their phones.
Gary, I don't know if you know this. Nigel is 72 years old. So I don't think you can count as a millennial.
Well in right. my house last night, everybody except for me was on phones at one. Oh, Michael was.
I was cooking.
Was yours in your car?
It was on the
menu. No, it was on
night.
A. It was
oh, we did
in
chicken tinga?
Oh, nice. Oh,
very
some,
good.
Very
one of
American.
You were programmed during the commercial. Be like, oh, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get a bite to eat, whatever. I'm going to take a break. And you forget, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I actually need to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
So it throws the whole rhythm of the game.
Yeah,
away.
There was no,
but
to
there was
me,
nothing.
That, that was a C-minus night for commercials.
Yeah,
I was texting you constantly, Tony. Is that, you didn't respond?
I did not.
Whole fourth quarter.
By
the
way,
ignoring
me.
Some of the prop bets that we had discussed on Friday, Lady Gaga, what color hair would she have?
Nigel said purple. I mean,
Reginald said
purple.
Yeah, so he lost on that. And the
Reginald got crushed.
Oh, he got crushed.
Reginald's last month was crushing.
He was 0-for on everything.
I'd rather bring in Ollie.
Did Jaws have it?
Jaws had it.
Jaws had it.
Jaws got hot late.
But
Jaws ended plus four.
The coin toss he lost on, and also, and I think a lot of people were surprised on this, the over-under for how many Donald Trump tweets during the game, zero.
Yes.
Before and after, but zero during the game.
Is it possible he didn't watch the game?
He left at 21-3 because the pool reports, he was at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
And I'm on the pool report list, and he left at 21-3. He left the watch party in which they all had suits on and Cracker Jacks and water were served.
Okay.
Good Cracker Jack.
I like Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack, the snack of football.
I like Cracker Jacks.
I love the football.
What else do you have?
Tough Saturday for Maryland.
Great game.
Yeah, they lose to Purdue.
Purdue
was down by 16 in the second half.
That
they
was a
back.
Great game. Yeah, and the last two fouls
travel.
Called at that guy Swearingen, who's good.
Swanigan.
Swanigan.
Yes.
The last two fouls were totally bogus calls, and they fouled him out on it, and Purdue still won. Maryland, there was a really good – people in Maryland are going to be upset, but that was a really good game. Maryland had a shot at the end. thanks to the incredible stupidity of the substitute center for Iowa.
Oh, my God.
Like, just literally walking with the ball.
Pulling a Westbrook.
That kid hurt her, had a shot. And it was a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, off the rim, right?
Yeah, about 0.5 seconds. I mean, he got a shot off. Good shot.
Also, tough afternoon for Georgetown. They lose in overtime to the vaunted Seton Hall.
We lost to Mass Lowell. Game? We lost to Mass Lowell, so we had a Binghamton. We had a bad.
So all across the board.
Yeah, we had a bad.
Georgetown's just bad.
They're not going to get in the tournament.
I love how they cast that game as like a bubble game. I was like, Georgetown is 13-10.
They're not
like,
on the bubble.
Well, now 13-11.
Thanks for that, Nigel.
What else?
NIT bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
NIT bubble. The Wizards beat the Pelicans. Led
big game
by
tonight.
John Wall's 24 points. Yes, they host
tonight.
They host the Cavaliers tonight, right?
They do.
The rare big regular season game.
And to be fair, Cleveland, I think there's one of two ways. Cleveland can rest people and say that it doesn't matter, but I think they're going to play hard, and I think they want to see if they can beat this team, because I think they now look at the Wizards as a potential, certainly a playoff foe, and maybe even a final Eastern Conference foe. I mean, the Wizards are playing great now. And they're defying all logic in the way they do it by getting their starters to score 90% of their points and consistently score a lot of points.
So. Yeah, I'm interested to see how this game shakes out, because I think if you're the Cavs, there's a sense of, hey, let's remind these upstarts.
Let's
not just
them.
Beat them.
Let's beat them badly.
Let's remind them how far they are from being able to contend with
and
us.
And I don't know that they are. I don't
correct.
Know that they are
no,
that far.
No, I agree with you. But I don't think you want the Wiz confident.
And I know you didn't see this, but it was a poetic end for Paul Pierce. He made his last appearance in Boston, and they put him back in the game. The Clippers were losing, so the crowd.
They're paying him for nothing.
Right, yeah. I mean, this is
two years being paid for nothing.
Farewell tour. Yep. The whole crowd in Boston is chanting, put in Paul. They give him the ball, and he had played like one shot early in the game. He'd started, and then he just bangs a three-pointer, and that was the way he walks out. So
did the Clippers win the game?
No, they lost. Okay. But the whole crowd was cheering for
Celtics
Paul Pierce.
Celtics won by 8.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Capitals looking very impressive.
They went back-to-back on the weekend and won by 100.
5-love over the Kings, so they are looking very, very good.
I believe that's 5-0.
They're
is
the
it
best
5-0?
Team. They're the best team in the
5-0.
World.
5-0. Yes.
All right, good. So we will come back with Old Guy Radio and talk amongst ourselves about various weekend appearances and what we did and what's coming up. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad. On this Valentine's Day, give a gift that they can unwrap again and again, matching underwear from MeUndies. Valentine's Day is near. It's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. MeUndies has you covered. I like the way they do that. With limited edition matching pairs of undies for you and yours. Has Valentine's Day got you stumped? Forget the cliches and give a gift that looks great, feels great, and will make everyone happy. MeUndies. Fancy dinners and chocolate last a night. Flowers last a week. This year, give the gift of looking great and feeling great every day with the world's most comfortable underwear. MeUndies are the perfect gift for you and your Valentine this holiday. They're unbelievably soft. They come in limited edition prints. MeUndies knows that your special someone deserves a special fabric, which is why their underwear is made exclusively. We need to get a pronunciation here out of modal or modal. A fabric with 3 times touch softer than cotton. It is very, very soft. I really wish we could identify it correctly.
Underpants.
Modal or modal.
Underpants.
Underpants.
Yes.
They have special edition Valentine's undies, which means that you and your Valentine can match. And yeah, that's as cute as it sounds. And if for some reason you and MeUndies are not a perfect match, they will give you your money back and let you keep the first pair. There's no refund on a bad fancy dinner. And that really should be something that you put on one
underpants.
Of those pillows. You know, there's no refund on a bad Needle fancy point. Dinner. They offer free shipping for a limited time. Listeners to this podcast get 20% off their first order. But you have to go to MeUndies.com/Tony K. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you've got nothing to lose. Don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K right now for 20% off your first order. One more time. That's MeUndies.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the Dell Vikings. This is Come Go With Me. This entered the charts 60 years ago, and I know because I was alive. This is, in terms of critical commentary, there are certain sounds that define eras. Come Go With Me, I wrote this down, At the Hop and Teenager in Love are, for me, the songs in the late 50s that define that kind of rock and roll that was called doo-wop, or since then. It also, the actual kind of music was the main instrument was saxophone play. And the guy who brought saxophones back was Clarence Clemens with Bruce Springsteen. But and in Chicago used a horn section. There was a period of time in rock and roll that horns were done. Nobody had them at all. I mean, there would be no reason to do it. Anyway, this is Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings. An interesting name. The Del Vikings. Like, it's not enough to have the Vikings. What does Del mean? Do you know, Nigel?
It's a future computer company, I believe.
Like Del Taco.
But it was only...
Spanish for the, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Is Spanish for the. Yeah. Del is just from Del Shannon. Maybe they were named after Del Shannon. Maybe that was it. Okay. Let us review what happened on the weekend, particularly with Chris, because Chris had an event yesterday that started around 1 o'clock at Chad's, which is still called Chad's at the moment, though we are... Look, a lot of people write in and they say call it the Fifth Quarter. I think that's a very common name.
It is. And I think a lot of people. And that's too sports barsy.
That's too sportsy, I think. I'm not.
I don't want to
like
eat there.
Like 19th hole.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to.
It sounds like
that.
A place I want to go see the game.
I don't. Yeah, I don't really want
to
do that.
Right? You want it to be a place that I want to go eat, presumably.
Well, eat and drink. It's a bar.
Sneak away to see the game.
Yeah, I mean, the game will be there. As a matter of fact, we got three new TVs installed yesterday.
And one was one was in the area where we are holding
so
the trivia.
Talk about what you did. I got to meet Neil Greenberg, which
made me
very
happy. It was
wonderful
that you and Michael and Liz and Kate and Nigel all turned out, Gary.
Yeah. Yep.
A little slap in the face, Gary. And it was a small-ish gathering, but that was fine because we didn't expect – I mean, it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? But a lot of the regulars, a lot of TK regulars are there. We gave away six subscriptions to the Washington Post to the winners.
That's great.
And I gave away six copies of my book.
Is that one for first place, two for second place, and three for third?
It's hurtful, Gary.
Your words are hurtful, Brian.
and we gave away six copies of my book, signed, autographed to the losers. So I felt like it was really nice. I hadn't been to Chad's since I was in college. So it was nice to go. It was wonderful to see you. You talked a little bit about trivia that will be there tonight.
Tonight, 7:30.
And I got to see from Michael and you the official where the studio is going to be.
Yes.
So that was really
cool. Up in
cool.
the atrium area.
And
on the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin.
Let me share this because I think people may think that you're doing like a shtick. I'm always impressed by how genuinely appreciative you are of people who come to Chad's who are littles. Because he gets genuenely excited to
somebody
see people.
Was
this
there
is
from,
not a bit.
And Indiana yesterday.
And you said San Francisco as well. Or yes. somewhere out in
no,
the
people
west.
Came in from, they were moving. A couple had been living in San Francisco for years, was moving to Washington and came yesterday and sat in the dining area and introduced themselves. No, it's always nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really nice.
Those connections are always nice.
It's very cool. And I would say half of the conversations I had with people and conversations I overheard, because I'm a creep and I listen in, were about you and the show. And I mean, it's a very neat.
Neil from Rockville was there.
Yep.
I'd not met Neil before.
You had not met Neil. Is
no,
that right?
Solid.
Years.
Physically solid. Yeah. I didn't.
Maureen was in attendance.
Maureen up.
Stayed the entire time.
That's good.
Maureen, she was there.
Neil in Rockville had an original old guy radio hat on.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah. I think a lot
old,
of people.
Was that the old Buddy Kaiser hat?
Yeah, that's the Buddy Kaiser shirt and hat. Yeah. I think a lot of people, I hope they ate and liked the food. That's all I
there
ever
was,
say. I hope
there was
food
being consumed.
What were the numbers on Facebook Live? We checked and it was about 600.
They got
we
up
looking.
To, I think they got up to like 2,000, 2,500. It builds over time.
What does that
the longer
mean,
you go.
Facebook
like
Live.
2,500. You saw the two women in the back with the cameras.
I didn't
and
know
the
what
lights.
That was about.
It was
so
brought.
Were they filming?
Yes. It's being broadcast. It's being live streamed on Facebook. So if you aren't able to go to Chad's, you can watch it. On the internet.
That's
can
how I did it, by the
can
way. You gave me crap for not being there.
Normally we would, no chance. Normally we would do that, but I wanted it to be an experience where the people there had fun. What's hard is you do the like online thing. It can be sort of not that fun for the people in the room.
It's clunky.
So, right. So I was like, let's make sure the people in the room have a good time. And I think they did. And then we'll worry about the Facebook Live thing after. But they were very, the Post people sent me a note afterward and very happy with the numbers and how it looked. The nice thing about
that space at Chad's, and Chad's generally speaking is, you think of a bar where, or a restaurant where you walk down, so, oh, it's going to be dank. And
No.
There's actually there's a lot of nice light in there. For us, we had two bigger lights up that we brought in, but I thought the lighting looked nice and the shot looked really nice. So that was really encouraging.
That is an area of the restaurant where the stuff on the wall is all 65-year-old Guinness posters. And I would encourage you, if you do it again, bring your own posters.
I have a lot of posters of myself.
Yeah, bring posters of yourself.
When headshots. Tony, when you encounter people at the restaurant, listeners to this show, do they talk to, because you have in the past, I think you've wisely backed off this a little bit, but in the past, you have solicited people's thoughts and comments.
I do that. I still do that.
So those conversations, they'll tell you, what'd you get? How was the food?
He said, tell me how the food is.
Name names about servers.
Yeah. Want to know who I can fire. It's always exciting to think that I could do that. I go in when I see the manager, Bob, all the time. I inquire about who's been fired, as I like to know about.
Bob
that.
Came up and introduced himself
Bob's
to
great.
Me. Please let me know if there's anything I can do.
I go to Bob and I tell him five things that have to be done quickly. And he takes out a notebook and writes nothing down, and I leave and makes me happy. And he shrugs and puts the notebook away.
Tony, no problem.
Did you see Belichick in the first half last night writing notes with pencil and his little notebook?
He was super involved last night in a way I haven't seen him. He's like over talking to individual guys on the defense. Belichick, I just thought it was like normally he just sort of stands there and looks like
normally they're winning.
Looks like he needs a bowel movement, but then he moved around. So anyway, it was wonderful, and thank you, by the way, for letting us use the space.
Happy to do so. We want to create sort of a podcast empire there or something like that.
Podpire.
Yeah. So yesterday, one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to go out and hit golf balls because I'd paid attention. See, Chuck Bell went solo on the weekend. Sheena Parveen, who is the it girl...
I have a Sheena Parveen sighting.
Okay. So Sheena Parveen, who's it, and is, Chuck Bell, the Rolling Stones very early on an album called Between the Buttons had a song called Yesterday's Papers. And they said, who needs Yesterday's Papers? And well, Chuck Bell at the moment appears to be Yesterday's Papers. But I was paying attention to Chuck Bell early Sunday morning because I wanted to know the possibility. I knew it was supposed to be a little bit warmer. And Chuck Bell said that by 1 o'clock, there was going to be bright sun and it was going to be around 50 degrees. So I was agitating with Michael to try and get out and hit balls.
Sure.
By 2 o'clock or so when we left Chris, it was dank. It felt damp. It felt in the low 40s. It was breezy. We didn't have a lot of hope. We went out to Columbia and just grabbed a cart and stuck the bags on the cart. And we ended up playing 12 holes. And I would say, Michael, 9 of those holes were played in the sunshine that Chuck Bell had predicted. He was a couple of hours late. I don't hold him accountable.
The afternoon overperformed.
Because when we were there, like we thought to ourselves, big ups for Chuck Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Big ups, because it was not breezy, and it was nice, and we played 12.
I finished with a birdie.
You finished with a birdie, and I finished with a par.
The entire time, we went around just... thinking about if this had been the summer father-son tournament,
we
would be in the money.
We would have crushed.
Our gross was looking good.
Yeah, I played very well, which is not like me. So that was fun. I imagine other people got to go out. When the Super Bowl starts at 6:30, you have to be insane to sort of get down with it at 3 o'clock. What are you doing? No. I mean, how many Terry Bradshaw features can you watch? It's just craziness. In fact, we were watching the golf all the way through till 6.
Everything with the golf was great till the playoff. They must have been, yelling at these guys to just have someone win so that they could take advantage of this audience.
I would imagine that the rating at 6 o'clock fell off the face of the earth for the last hole or two. Because you have to go, at that point, you have to go to the Super Bowl and you have to be there for the beginning. This is the end of Deflategate. Now it's over. It will not be brought up again because of what happened. It would have been over either way. For me, this is a more satisfying feeling. And I'm going to return to Roger Goodell one more time. I mean, he really was on the wrong side of this. And it was his creation. It was pointed out any number of times that there was bad science in this. I mean, you didn't even have to be a scientist. If you go back to the game, which was Indianapolis against New England, which ended 45-7. In the first half, there was the accusation that the balls had been deliberately deflated by Tom Brady and his henchmen, all right? The second half score was 28-0, where the league took over control of the balls. It was 28-0. You think Tom – do you really, after watching Tom Brady for this length of time, does anybody think he needs to deflate the balls? And if he wants to deflate them – by the way, half the quarterbacks in the league want them deflated, and a third of them want them inflated, yep, and a third of them don't even know what's going on. You know, so I've
doesn't
now
matter.
Gone
he'll
2 years.
He'll beat you in his. He'll beat you with yours.
That's 2 years of this, and now it's over, and New England has won. And what it has done, of course, is further isolate the fans of New England. I mean, it's made more and more people hate them over the course of time. And it is driven, I think it's driven a wedge in the NFL.
I would say the game last night, I'm not a Patriots fan. I hate Bob Kraft. You mentioned this last week. I hate Bob Kraft
because he dangled. State.
Well, it was he used Connecticut.
Yes, he did.
To get more money. So I hate him. But it's hard for me to see anyone watching that game and not, no matter how you feel about the Patriots, Brady Belichick, not admiring that performance. I mean, that was you are watching something that is absolutely remarkable. When you are watching Brady, they just stopped running the ball in the second half. He threw the ball except for the James White run. They basically throw the ball every single time, and everything goes right in every situation under the most pressure you can possibly face in sports. He performs. Belichick coaches the right game. I don't know how you leave that game thinking, oh, the Patriots. Yes, they won again, but they won in a way in which they proved they are simply better.
They are.
Just enjoy and appreciate what you're seeing.
You're watching
greatness. You don't get greatness at this level frequently. You mentioned the having to abandon the run. I mean, at halftime, the Fox guys were saying like, oh, they're going to have to just, you know, they're going to have to get one dimensional. They're going to have to just pass. And I was thinking, so? Yeah, I mean, like, they do that half the time by design anyway. So, you know, they're not hurt. Well, let me say, no one wants to be down 21-3 or whatever it was at halftime. But for your team, who has some run-pass balance, you're going to be impacted more than they are because they got no qualms about throwing it 62 times.
No,
not that that was their game. Not that that was their game plan.
66 yards in the air.
70 dropbacks, Tone. 70 dropbacks. Atlanta ran like 44 plays.
In the fourth quarter, he threw. I mean, again, like some of these stats are ridiculous, but he threw for over 200 yards in the fourth quarter of the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good quarter. It's like a 500 yard game pace.
I was watching a show this morning, and they asked a couple of the players, and they asked the experts sitting around, at what point did you think that the momentum had turned? And they thought it was the strip sack fumble on Ryan.
Yeah, sure.
And they just felt
Tim Hightower, rather.
Dante Howard.
Dante.
Is it Dante?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tim Hightower's the running back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
For Green Bay now, I think. Oh, no, it's Tim Montgomery, or is that Tim Hightower? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. When you get to the point...
Ty Montgomery. I think Tim Hightower currently with the Saints.
You can't even imagine that they can win this game. I'm sorry.
It's not possible.
I know that the players say we're going to do one play at a time, and you can't think past that. And it's been said many times that Bill Belichick, the roster of the New England Patriots, contains more college graduates than any other team. It is a veteran roster. When they work in rookies, and rookies played a big part last night, when they work in rookies, they get smart rookies. They do. And maybe they all are trained and they train each other to believe that you're never closed out of the game until
no,
the end.
No, if they're smart as you're saying, then they knew it was over.
But think about it. We were talking about Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn and not running the ball after Julio Jones catches the ball.
Stupid.
How often can you think of in which you say, in retrospect, in hindsight, why didn't Belichick X and it cost them the game? It never.
No.
Even 2 years ago when I was screaming,
call timeout.
Why is he not calling timeout?
Right.
Now, I don't know if he retroactively said he purposely because he saw the scheme or whatever, but if you watch
that
play,
right play,
Malcolm
but
Butler,
out.
They know the play.
I'll
Brandon Browner and Malcolm Butler know that play. He jumps it the second he throws it. So it's like you never second guess them.
Fourth down.
That's the one
Colts.
Time. You're right.
Went for
you're
fourth right. down on his own 30-something.
Yes.
Here's an example of terrible things happening to people. Dan Quinn was on the sidelines as a defensive coordinator in that particular game.
Yes.
He watched the offensive coordinator make the worst call ever. That's the worst call ever. And watched Pete Carroll go okay with that call. Now he's there and he loses. This is such a terrible game to lose. And watches his offensive coordinator make a couple of calls that are just inexplicable. A guy who is going to go to the San Francisco 49ers on a six-year contract. And has a good feeling from this area, from Washington, because people liked him. He's got Kyle Shanahan now is a compromised guy.
That's going to dog him forever.
Doesn't Dan Quinn? But okay, Dan Quinn in a situation like
twice.
That, doesn't Dan Quinn have to okay
games
those?
One.
Doesn't
he
have to okay those plays, Tones?
He's a defensive coordinator.
I mean, every,
so you think they let
different.
Shanahan
yes.
call the?
Yes.
Yeah, Shanahan just calls
it's
the
just,
plays.
He it's has, inexplicable.
Dan Quinn has lost two of the most memorable. Heartbreaking games in history to Bill Belichick. Yeah. Bill Belichick's laughing at him. He's laughing at him.
What
if
a
you
great
look up
stretch, evil genius.
What a great stretch of championship games.
Oh, yeah. Somebody tweeted this out. A bunch of people tweeted this out.
Yeah, so well, you got this. You got the Clemson-Alabama. You got LeBron's 3-1
and
comeback.
And the World Series Cubs.
World Series Cubs.
And then last second shot in the
Chris
NCAA
Jenkins
tournament.
Three-pointer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's really been a good
been
run.
A heck of a stretch.
But this one looked... This was the worst game of all. Oh, yeah. It looked done.
No, this was
done.
Not a great game. The Christmas point area. It was a great
comeback.
Quarter and a half.
Yeah. All right, we'll get out of here.
By the way, one thing. The Dell Vikings. Apparently, some of the guys in the band were fans of Vikings. They had read up on them, and they just added the word Dell to give them a little bit extra mystery. It means nothing.
That's what I thought.
So there
that's
you go.
What, it's like, you know,
so-called
Doppler
Dell
Radar X2000.
Yeah. Sad.
Nonsense. It means nothing. I will be back with a jingle and with some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Kirsten Onstad, lyrics, vocals, and ukulele. Jason Fuse, vocals and guitar, in the style of a movie Inside Llewyn Davis that Oscar Isaac was on when Chris Mumford was helping with all the music. It's a movie that you want to like a little bit
more
than you can.
Yeah.
You can't quite like it all the way, even with the great little Bob Dylan homage at the end. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us. I also want to thank our sponsors today, Harry's Razors, ZipRecruiter, and MeUndies. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please give us a review. This is from Brighton Bergman in Sugar Hill, Georgia. This past Saturday, I disregarded all warnings from Miss Hornaday, Saliza, and others to take the time to watch Manchester by the Sea. For any normal person, this would be the most depressing thing to happen to them on a typical weekend. But I had the great pleasure of watching my Falcons allow 31 unanswered points en route to losing the biggest game I've ever seen in my 21 years on this planet. Could you be so kind as to give me a pity email read and a pity sticker? I think we could probably.
I mean, when Manchester by the Sea is only the second most depressing thing, you've had a bad weekend.
From Jamie McGinnis, class of Notre Dame, class of 09 at Notre Dame. I'm just writing to brag that I won at the Sequiza Bowl on Sunday at Chad's, thanks in part to my team's knowledge about ludicrous rap and my nailing the tiebreaker question to the stadium that held the World Series and Super Bowl in the same year, which was Qualcomm Stadium
that's right.
in San Diego. Finally, I want to remind Saliza that Notre Dame remains ranked ahead of Georgetown in the U.S. News and World Report. That was a bunch of Notre Dame guys that just won your trivia contest, so eat it.
God.
It's always good when they people didn't end everything by saying, so eat it. From Tom McHale in Ballston Lake, New York, by way of New Hyde Park. Ballston Lake is in upstate New York. I was overjoyed to hear Chris from Towson's email about Liz Clark's voice. I've had a voice crush on Liz Clark, and Gene for that matter, for years, but was afraid to admit it at the risk of sounding creepy. This weekend, I plan to rummage through my house for some old phone books to send to you for Liz and Gene to read cover to cover on the air. Thanks for all you do. Signed, La Chiserie. From Aaron Bumgarner, 26, a member of the Millennials and a staunch supporter of political topics being discussed on this show. Please let Steve Sands know that I may have embellished a bit on the nature of our relationship. If his Golf Channel co-worker, Dave Tozzi, tells him Aaron says hello, just go along with it. I was grouped with Dave at Worldwoods in Florida for a round earlier this week when I found out he worked for the Golf Channel. As any proper little would, I asked if he knew Steve Sands. He said that he did, that the Golf Channel crew was a very tight-knit and great group to work with. When he asked how I knew Steve, I guess that was the impression he got when I talked about how Steve lived in D.C. I decided family friend was better than explaining how he was a celebrity on a podcast that I listened to. Anyway, thanks for letting Steve know. From Frank Curry in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Please consider this email a warning. Here in the Tampa St. Pete media market, 2009 through 2011 were the most glorious, wonderful, fulfilling years. We would all awake before 6 a.m., race to the television, and wait anxiously for the first weather break at 6:02. There she was, and it was bliss. Then in November 2011, it all came crashing down. A bigger media market beckoned, a big city, a huge affiliate. Philadelphia it was, the city of my youth. And now of her youth. Be warned, my friend, Washington will likewise be jilted. You make Sheena sound like the Oakland Raiders, that they're always looking
to move. I think Sheena is on the hot track to the Today Show.
Maybe it'll be LA or Chicago or even New York. Oh, it will happen. One day you will awake and she will be gone. Sheena will be no more. Cherish your time whilst you have it. Godspeed. That's a wonderful
That's
email,
brilliant.
Isn't it? Rich in Herndon, Virginia. Hope you saw Saturday's golf. Great broadcast, great crowd, 250,000. Great fun at 16. This is from Rich in Herndon, Virginia.
Great birdie by John Rahm.
Yeah, I've been there. I have not been there when the tournament was going on, but I've walked through that corridor on 16.
What
is now the
stretch,
waste management. Then 17 is a short par 4.
Yep.
I mean, and you can all those people can see them tee off, I assume, on 17.
Our good friend David Klecka was there.
Was
representing,
he?
Representing, yes.
Oh, good.
Sent me a picture. I showed Michael earlier.
That one of the great littles of all time. From Dan Fitzgerald in Philadelphia. Good afternoon. I teach 7th grade math in North Philadelphia. Today I overheard two of my students discussing the upcoming parent-teacher conferences. Student 1, all the teachers sit around a table and tell your parents if you did good or bad. Student 2, oh, so it's like hot bench? So great. Wow. The light of my work is that these poor, struggling young people have something in common with a 1%er like yourself. Who says we're a divided country? Hot bench
That's
nation.
That's great.
How much time do we have?
10.
Oh, Zach Berg. Fellow little Phil Kaminsky owes me $1,000. Since I know you love to help us settle scores, can you please remind him to pay up? $1,000 seems large,
doesn't
it? Don't
be a punk, Kaminsky. Pay
the man.
Sounds
large. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I'm going to solve. All right. Corno Curro Cabinet.